All right, welcome to Spirit Sirens, the podcast. My name is Megan, and this is actually our first Spirit Sirens showcase for the podcast. Today we're talking to Alexis Rayson.
Yes.
Rayson, perfect, from Four Peaks. And I'm just going to let her tell you a little bit more about what she does. For those of you that aren't in Arizona, Four Peaks is the largest brewery here in the state. They've been going for
20 years.
Wow. Almost as long as we've been going for. So they've been going for 20 years, largest brewery in the state. And how long have you worked there?
So I've been with the brewery about a year now, but I actually have been in the beverage industry for almost 7 years. So I got started in energy drinks, still marketing and sales, but that's kind of how I got like my foot in the door in the beverage industry. And that industry is also a very male dominant world in many ways.
I believe it. Yeah. Like, I guess I've never thought about the energy drink industry, but
Sure. Yeah,
like I know they hire, like I know like Red Bull has like the little cars that they send around, but
Sure. I'm
not sure about anybody else.
There's often street teams that are predominantly females. I'm not sure why that is, but in the back end of things, you know.
I'm sure there's lots of assets that they're looking for in that particular department.
Totally. Well, on the back end of things, a lot of the decision makers were often, like, it was a man's world, kind of in many ways. And then I worked for a local distributor, and then Anheuser-Busch, and now a local brewery. So I've been doing beer for 4 years, about.
Okay. So then did you come on, like, you were part of Anheuser-Busch, and they brought you on to the Four Peaks team?
Right. Or? I wouldn't have a team if it wasn't, I mean, I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for that acquisition. So
yeah. Yeah.
But I've always kind of had my eye on them. I went to ASU, and so that's like Four Peaks was right in our backyard, and I've always really loved the brand and the beer. So it's always intrigued me. I've always kind of had my eye on them a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's almost 7 years in the beverage industry in general.
So with the food and beverage industry is, I mean, I feel like it's different from all the other industries as far as marketing goes. Like, you know, when you're trying to sell a couch, you go, oh, it's so durable, it's so comfortable, it'll last, your family will love it. Like, all of this stuff about the couch, you know, you're not selling, like, a lifestyle. It's not like, oh, this couch, this is the best couch for falling asleep on a Sunday. Like, this is the best couch for this sort of lifestyle. Whereas with the food and beverage industry, it's like, yeah, okay, it's got these vitamins, but also look at how cool you look drinking this energy drink. Like, all your friends are drinking Four Peaks beer, like, you should be too. And there's an element of quality, but I mean, I guess you probably know more about the sales side. Do you think that when you guys go out and sell, are you guys selling more of like, hey, this particular beer is amazing, it's better in ABUs and ABVs, or are you selling more like, hey, Four Peaks is so cool, it's local, like which angle do you think you come at it more from?
I think for me, just because of my personality, I think I talk more about like what goes into it a little bit, but they go hand in hand for sure. So like, what I think makes, like, one of the things that I think is so cool about beer is that you have so much room to be creative. There's, like, so many different, like, innovations, and I'm sure, like, distilling is the same way. So I feel like our brewers are, like, little scientists. Like, I know they, like, put so much work into it, so I feel, like, some sort of responsibility to make sure that I relay that message to our customers, you know, and the buyers and whatever else. I want them to know, like, all the hard work and all the things and what makes it different.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think I'm lucky because I do think I work for a company that is very innovative and does try to lead the way in many ways, so I can talk about things like that. But it does go hand in hand, too. I mean, we live in general today. I feel like we live in a world where social media is like so important to so many people. So lot of things are about the image, like a picture of our can, like, you know, with a snowy mountain in the background, like that stuff gets me excited too. I feel like that tells a good story as well, the brand and the image, and just because of the world that we live in. And we also do a lot of stuff at our company to give back to the community, because we know, you know, we're from here first, so we always try to give back and tie things to like certain charities. And so those are good talking points too. Yeah. But, you know, each buyer is different. Each person is different. So each person you talk to, like whether it be male or female or
whatever. Yeah, it might be like, you know, when you're selling somewhere in Old Town Scottsdale at like a club bar, it might be more of the lifestyle thing versus when you're talking about, I mean, even getting it into a place like here at the fire station where, like, they're not coming to party. We don't have, like, anyone coming in like, ooh, yeah, let's get wild. Like, they're just hanging out.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. They're, as much as I love describing things in detail, I kind of hate how we have beer now because I cannot talk about it. Like, they come in and they're like, oh, yeah, what's this one like? Like, how does it compare to a red ale? I don't know. Like, because I work at a distillery.
You feel like there's more to know and more to
learn.
Girl, let me tell you, the business changes every day, too, and there's always new innovative tools, so.
And it's so funny because, like, on a technical level, I can tell you exactly what's going on with beer. Like, I understand, you know, you put the hops in. I know how the yeast works. I know, like, the bottom floating yeasts versus the top floating yeasts. But, like, on a flavor level or a practical level, I just know absolutely nothing about beer.
Yeah. But as is any business, like, I have a lot of friends that do hair. They're in, like, the beauty industry. Mm-hmm. And even things like that you would think would be so simple. It's like they have to take classes all the time because there's all these new innovative tools and you know, different kinds of things that are popular.
Yeah.
And so they're always having to like learn and grow as the business learns and grows. And I feel like that's something that is so permeable to all these different businesses, you know?
Like, absolutely. Like if you don't stay on top of the market, you're done.
Totally.
Like Four Peaks would not have lasted 20 years if they were like, yeah, no, this beer's good enough. Let's just stick with it.
Yeah.
Like let's do this thing forever. One of the things that I actually love about beer, I was looking, like, I'm more of a history side of the alcohol, and it was, gosh, I don't even know how long ago, but there was this German law that they passed down that said the only thing you can put in beer is, like, water, hops, and barley. Like, that was literally, like, hey, if it's beer, these are the ingredients, and that's it. And for me to have read that probably, like, 2 years ago now, when the beer industry I know is so huge, like that just blew my mind. Like, one, how are you trying to make different and interesting things with just like water, hops, and barley?
Yeah.
Because when they made the law, they literally didn't even know about yeast. Like, they were
and
like,
even still, that's really the only other thing that you're missing, which is wild. It seems so simple, like it's, you know, like the formula seems so simple and then yet you can get all these different outcomes with it. So
yeah, it's just so complicated. Like I, as much as I love producing like liquor, we have so many different options. Like you can start from anything, you can add anything along the way. Like you can add, you know, flavors while you're distilling, you can add flavors afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just such a range, and somehow you guys produce just as much of a range with not having those options.
Yeah, like, but the same kind of things go into it, you know, depending on when you add hops or, you know, that changes things. And
yeah.
That's, I know.
Oh, that still blows my mind. So then you say you got in the beverage, the food and beverage industry, working in the marketing department. Was that, like, which side was your passion? Was it the marketing or was it, you know, were you sort of set your sights on working in the beer industry, or did it just sort of, you know, life took you where it did and then you loved it?
Oh, I guess a little bit of all, like all the above. But truly, I think good salespeople are also good marketers, and good marketers are also good salespeople. I really think They should go hand in hand.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It, you know, it helps set you apart when you're able to make those cohesive. But, yeah, well, I had a degree in marketing, so that's how I started
Got
that
it.
side of things. And then I really like FaceTime with people. Clearly, I like to talk. So I really wanted more FaceTime, you know, and that's why I thought maybe sales, so I can, you know, sit and talk to people and have them hear what I'm saying, because it's a different kind of reward. Whereas, you know, a lot of my events with marketing were very independent, where I would, you know, work very independently. I mean, and then you'd get to go to the event and like see it, and that was rewarding, like see it all come together. And then now it's like, it's, I don't know, more personal.
Yeah,
I feel like
I guess
maybe.
I can see that would be like, on the one hand, it's really cool to see like a, you know, if you organized a 200 person event, like that would be very satisfying. But also by the time the event rolls around, I imagine you're just like, okay, it's happening. I'm going to go over here and drink. And like, I can't even imagine still wanting to be out and about and participating in it after you've done all the work to set it up.
Sure.
But then again, I'm also not a talkative one-on-one person. So I probably shouldn't project that one.
Yeah. Our team does a good job though. Really. They do a good job at doing both. So we'll still hop out with our events that we have going on. And, you know, a lot of beer events, though, are, like, pouring at festivals and things. And so that is another chance for you to get in front of somebody, right?
Yeah,
and, like, tell
exactly.
a story and talk about the beer and what you're passionate about. So,
okay, so on your side, we've participated in festivals before. And, I mean, maybe we're just, we employ nothing but, how do I say, introverted, cynical people. So maybe that's sort of interfering with our success at the festivals, but we have a lot of people that come through, and one, they always think we're a brewery first, which is fair. I mean, there's like 9 distilleries in this state, so I'm not judging them that one, but they come through and they're like, well, I'll have the brown one, or I only drink vodka, or I only drink this, I only drink that. Mm-hmm. Do you guys, would you say you have a lot of that at festivals? Like, well, I only drink IPAs, and, you know, I don't drink that fruity stuff, or, you know, if you've got the, I don't even know what fruit, like fruit beers you might have right now.
Peach ale, that's a good one.
That one's a good one.
But
does, I mean, how would you describe, like, the kind of people that go to festivals that you interact with? Is it people who really appreciate the craftsmanship of what you do, or is it more like, here's a ticket, give me my beer, I'm going to go over here and then get sloshed?
I have experienced what you're mentioning, but to be honest, in my experience, it's been kind of few and far between. I feel like at festivals that I've worked at, I've been able to sort of convince people to step outside of their box and try something new. Okay, what kind of styles of beer do you usually drink? Okay, well, we can either go with something similar to that, or we can go like, I mean, that's why you're here, right? That's what's so cool about those like tastings and festivals, is your
Very
chance
true.
To try something new. So I always try to push people outside of their box a little bit. But that's kind of me, just like my playful personality too. Like, oh, you drink Kilt Lifter all the time and you want one now? Like, no, that's not why you're here. You're going to try something else. Let me talk to you about this, you know? So I definitely get what you're saying. And there are people like that, that still, even when I try to push them, they're still just like, eh, no, you know, I'll stick to what I know. But
yeah,
I think it's a good chance to kind of like push
people
to try something.
I mean, at least like when we go to a festival, there's like one person that's heard of us, because we're still very small.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine how annoyed I would be if I went to a festival and I'm selling Kilt Lifter. Like, every bar has Kilt Lifter. I'm not sure I've been in a bar in like the last 5 years that didn't serve Kilt
Which,
Lifter.
Good job, guys at Four Peaks. You made a good beer.
Like, I just can't believe you would go to a festival like that
and
be like, oh, Kilt Lifter. Yeah, I'll have that one. Like, what? Why? Like, that's not.
Yeah. Well, we were talking earlier before we started about like the culinary festivals and stuff. So sometimes people that are there don't even drink beer. So then maybe, you know, you start them with something a little bit more balanced, you know? So
yeah, we do get, I don't know if that's changing. I mean, like, statistically, I think they're saying that rates of like drinking alcohol is going up in the United States, but you still see so many people that come through and they're like, oh, I don't, like, I gave up drinking forever ago. And I can't, like, it must be the same at Four Peaks versus, you know, when they come in here. Like, yeah, I've got food, I've got sodas, and I'm not going to push you to drink, obviously. Like, that's not cool. But that is what we do here. Like, if it seems like I'm talking about alcohol a lot, it's because that's what we do.
That's your passion.
Yeah. I know Four Peaks, I mean, you guys obviously have a much more robust food menu than we do.
They make good food.
Oh, my God, yes. Like, Four Peaks was the first place because I used to work right next to the Scottsdale location. And I would go in there after work and, you know, I would get the burger or the pizza or, you know, the poutine that they have. And they were like, yeah, and you want an egg on that? I'm like, no, I don't want an egg on, like, my dinner foods. What are you talking about? And then one day I was like, okay, fine. Like, put an egg on my burger, whatever. And it was amazing. And I was like, okay, well, let's put an egg on this pizza then.
Sure.
And it was awesome. Like, wait, you could just put an egg on anything and it's great? Like, they literally, I think they'll just put an egg on anything, and it's super fun.
And you start to see that more and more now, you know, in other places, but...
Yeah, and I think that's part of something that's going hand in hand is, you know, as the culinary culture here in Phoenix, and I guess just across the United States, is getting ramped up, people don't want a Bud Light to go with their $17 gourmet... like, stacked three-person cheeseburger. Like, they want something that's just as good, right? Something that's just as craft and handmade.
I, at our brewery, I mean, I don't brew the beer or make the food, but they truly do go hand in hand. And when they give you a suggestion, there's a reason for it. There's certain things that you'll taste that will complement better, you know, than others. It's so interesting. Yeah. Like, food and beer pairing dinners are... one of my favorite events to do now, just because I still learn so much. I'm like, wow, that's, you know, you're right. You take a bite of this, you take a sip of that. Like, that's so interesting.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that places like Four Peaks, like the other breweries and a lot of the craft places here are getting into, you know, we're selling a product, obviously, but when you come in, we're selling an experience too. It's not like, I don't want you to walk in and have a drink and go, yeah, cool, all right, bye. Like, I want you to walk in and hang out for 2 hours and, you know, marvel at the building and marvel at the food and the flavors. Like, I want you to come in and learn and have an experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's really going to make alcohol a little bit more accessible. Like, I think it's going to help make, I guess, the reputation a little bit better, because there's still people out there who, you know, who look at alcohol and they look at the people that make them and they think, well, you're a bad person. You're creating a bad product that hurts the world. And, you know, obviously that's a very hurtful thing to hear, but with, you know, if you're creating an experience, if you're really just focusing on making people happy and the alcohol is just one part of it, I think that's a step forward for all of us.
Heck yeah. You could go to that brewery or you could come in here for sure and have a great time and not drink, you know? And if you do drink, we're obviously hoping you're doing it responsibly, of course, you know? So,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that was the disclaimer right there. Also, drink responsibly. yeah. Okay. So, I guess, like, talking about experiences and stuff like that, do you have any stories about the industry? Like, I imagine with all of the, you know, the shows that you do and the events that you do, like, if you run into anyone who's just like, okay, that one, I'm going home, like, people are hearing about this right now.
I don't know if I have. People ask this question a lot, honestly, and I should come up with an answer because I don't know if I have, like, one experience really that stands out, but I just feel lucky because every day is different. You know, every event is different. Like, the people, one thing, like, I always kind of, like, joked that I couldn't do is I originally wanted to go to school for psychology, and I thought, shoot, I take everything home. At night, you know what I mean? This has a point.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point.
Like, so I can just, like, see that look on my face is like, yeah, you can't do psychology if you take that home with you.
Yes, exactly. So, but what's cool about this business that I'm in is, like, I can take all these little, like, relationships home with me, you know? And, like, mm-hmm. I meet, like, such cool people sometimes. And so I think experiences like that, just talking to somebody who's like, you know, my first, well, I'm one. So my first beer I ever drank was one of Four Peaks beers. So like I love meeting other people that have stories like that, where they're like, yeah, that was like the first beer I ever had. And like, they have like a fun story. I think those stand out maybe more to me than anything else. But I mean, exciting things definitely do happen all the time. It's just,
oh, yeah.
That could be good or that could be bad. So.
Sure. Keeping it in line, that's the problem.
Every day is different. Every week is different. Every event is different. And that's what makes this business, I feel like, so neat.
Mm-hmm.
Unique.
So was it a Kilt Lifter?
No, it was Peach Ale, actually. And I'm a 90s kid, so, like, mm-hmm. I grew up playing Mario Kart. So, joke around my house and stuff is like, I'm Princess Peach because like I love our peach beer.
Nice.
And also like I always chose her, playing Mario Kart growing up, because
it's actually more of a Daisy kind of girl. Like, I know it's just a skin,
that's a good one too though. And it's funny because I'm a tomboy for sure, but like I definitely chose Princess Peach every time. I'm like, oh,
this is 2018, like we can be a princess and a tomboy.
Yes,
like,
okay.
You don't have to choose.
Watch me beat all the boys wearing a crown right now. All right, that was my thought process.
For sure,
I can do that.
That was okay. So I guess speaking of you know, Mario Kart and also drinking and driving, like I didn't start drinking until after I turned 21. So I didn't really like have, I guess, like an inebriated driving situation for a really long time. And one day we had a party at our house. You know, everyone was going wild. Like, we were drinking, we were partying. We had the new Mario Kart on the Wii. And I had gold starred every single level at 150cc. Like, I'm freaking good at Mario Kart. And I sat down to play, and we were going. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, what cc is this? Like, it's so fast. Now, obviously, I'd been drinking, and I was, like, I had jumped in right in the middle. Somebody was like, oh, I don't want to play anymore. Like, here's a controller.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, my God, this is too fast. And then it stopped, and it was, like, Silver Cup for 50cc. And I was like, oh, my God, like, what? That was the best evidence I've ever had for how bad drinking impairs your driving. Like, I was like, holy shit. I couldn't react.
Luckily, it was virtual.
And it was so slow. Like, 50cc, like, I'm half falling asleep when I play that normally. I was just, like, my mind was completely blown.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It was virtual. We recently got the new, like, Gran Turismo, and it's got a VR mode,
mm-hmm.
and we've been, like, drinking and then playing that one and seeing how bad it gets, and it's pretty bad.
It sounds dizzy.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, no, that's, like, a one turn, and then you pass it on to someone else, because if you didn't have motion sickness before, you've got it now.
Exactly.
So, would you say, like, I guess you said you're generally in, like, a male-dominated field. Would you say that you've experienced any problems being a woman? Like, I guess either from, you know, no pointing fingers or naming names or anything like that. It's not an interrogation. Like, either on the business side or from the customer side. Like, I know you work with a lot of different accounts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever run into problems with people going, well, I guess just not believing your amount of knowledge about your products?
Totally. Definitely not internally, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
Our company, like, loves females. Actually, most of our sales team right now is all chicks. So, and cool ones who know a lot about beer. So, But definitely on the other side of things, especially before somebody gets to know me, like instant judgment, right? As I mean, mm-hmm. we still judge books by their cover, unfortunately, all the time. So
in defense of books, like that's someone's whole job is making sure the cover sells it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm not sure that's the right like metaphor anymore because books should be
judged by their cover.
And we
should. Because that's a marketing ploy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
like if you put a shit cover on something, like that's your fault.
Something I was going to mention earlier, I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but it came to mind, is that one of the biggest like feedbacks I feel like that I get when we're talking beer, like whether that be at a festival in front of a customer or doing a sales pitch in front of a buyer at an account, is like I'll say my thing, and then like their first reaction is, wow, like you actually know a lot about beer. Like I can't tell you how many times I hear that sentence and I'm just like, thank God.
Yeah.
Thank goodness my bosses would be so proud.
Oh, like
that is my job, of course. And it's a passion and everything else. So it's just funny to I always just like smile because it's funny to hear that. But I mean, I don't blame them for being like a little skeptical at first. I mean, there's things we were talking about before where there's certain like street teams that will come in maybe and sample or do promotional type things that might not necessarily
the beer girls. The beer
they
girls.
Might not necessarily know a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe somebody had an experience with that one time where they tried asking those questions we were talking about earlier when they are actually curious or an enthusiast or they want to try something new and then somebody didn't know how to answer that. So, but I get that a lot. That's probably the biggest thing I feel like I get. And I feel like most of it is probably from being just a female walking in and trying to talk beer to a dude. And then they're like, wow.
You should start like bringing in like a beard that you can just strap on. It's like, if this will make it better for you guys, I can wear this. It's a little itchy, but all right.
That would be ridiculous. I don't even know if they would listen to anything I was saying at that point, but I'd say that's the biggest thing. And then also, I don't know, I think not just in this position, but like forever growing up, I feel like when women are sometimes like nice or outgoing or talkative or, you know, maybe like charismatic, I feel like sometimes those things get taken differently. And so I've never really had an experience in this position, but just growing up in general, I feel like sometimes people would be like, oh, well, you were too nice to them. And it's like, well, what do you mean by it? Like, I didn't touch them. Like, I, you know, we weren't having like contact. It wasn't like I was, you know, had my hand on their shoulder or, you know, so I think I have to tread lightly with certain things too, because you know, in this business, you answer a lot of phone calls, like you give out your number a lot because you have to be there for so many different things. So you have to be a little bit careful in some ways how you speak to people, especially males, because you don't want them to take you the wrong way.
Yeah, like you're just sort of, you know, the opportunity is there if something's gone wrong. Like they know where you work, they know your full name, they know your phone number, like that's enough information for a lot of people to be really crappy.
Sure. Even people that don't know your phone number. So I had one experience recently, actually, where I, like, went back to my car after an event, and there was, like, a little note, literally, in my door that was, like, call me with, like, a phone number. For real.
Wow.
And I was thinking, first of all, how old are we? Come on.
Like, yeah, right?
Maybe just some face-to-face
like,
would
oh,
be
yeah.
good, but
I'll just call any one of the literal, like, hundreds of people that I ran into today.
Sure. But I, disclaimer also, do have a boyfriend, that and we live together, and so I went home, and it was the first time that I was kind of like, gosh, that made me a little uncomfortable, because you think, like, okay, so they obviously saw me get out of my car. Maybe I went back in my car to grab something else for the event and then go back into the event. So they knew what I drove, and then they, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, it was the first time that I was kind of like, oh, that's a little bit of a wake up call. Like, maybe I should look in my rearview mirror once or twice when I'm going home or just, and I'm not that way at all, but it is just, that could get me in trouble because I am not ever like, I trust a lot of people, and I trust that everyone feels the same way that I do, or they understand me, or whatever. So I think being too trusting sometimes can be dangerous, and that's for males and females. Definitely.
Very true.
So that definitely.
We had a very attractive guy who used to work here, and like there were things sometimes women would, specifically like older women, would come in and they would say things to him, like not even a hi or hello. Like it was literally they'd walk in the door and go, "Ooh, how much does that cost?" Like,
oh, yeah.
I literally heard that out of someone's mouth. I'm like,
see, it can be.
What?
Yes.
Like, did nobody teach you manners?
It can be a double standard for sure, because I work with some very attractive males, too, and I've heard people say stuff about them sometimes, and I'm just like, oh, my heavens. Like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it, you know, it goes both ways.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I guess that's something that I like to think about working in a small community like we do, like in a craft community where people genuinely love what they do, is I guess in my mind that kind of weeds out a lot of the creeps, because the kind of person who really loves what they do, like they've spent a lot of time getting to a position where they can have that passion for their job, have also spent enough time thinking about how they interact with the rest of the world to know that that's inappropriate, or they've established boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, I guess maybe that could be just like a fantasy in my head, but I like to hope that that's the case, you know, that the harassment doesn't happen as much in, you know, the craft breweries, craft distilleries, that kind of scene, as much as it does in, I guess, like the party scenes. But I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
I know.
Like I said before, I'm not especially outgoing. Like when I'm flirting with someone, they know it. Like it's yeah. Not like you would have to be blind and deaf to not know when I'm flirting with someone. So I guess I just don't have that experience like you might, or like, you know, some of my friends who are outgoing and bubbly and chatty and fun, and guys just think like, oh yeah, she loves to talk. She must want my body.
Totally.
Like, what? No, that's not the case at all.
I know. And like you're explaining them, like I was trying to explain too. It's like we think a certain way, so we hope that other people would think that way, but you just, you never know. I mean, everyone is.
Yeah.
And like, that's fine.
You can hope. But,
yeah. Here's the hoping.
I guess just one more question on my end. Like, I want to know, has there been like one really like big moment of pride for you, like in your work, either with Four Peaks or before, like you sat down at the end of the day and you went, God damn, like I'm awesome. Like, look at what I did today. Like, have you had any of those like big moments yet?
It's interesting because now in the positions that I'm in, they're very like numbers driven and like volume driven. So it feels good when
you see. I guess we haven't actually, like, what is it that you literally do for your job? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, mostly sales. So Okay. Getting out there talking about our beer. So obviously there's a lot of parts that go into like all these different beverage industries, right? But there's like, you know, the supplier that makes the beer, and then it goes to the distributor, the wholesaler, and then they're in charge of like inventory and selling the beer. And so we get to work closely with them in, you know, finding the right places for the right brands. So
okay. Yeah.
Mostly sales. And so it's a lot of numbers, and there's still events and things that go along with it, which is like the marketing side of things, or features or promotions, which is kind of like fun for the consumer, which is also a little bit more marketing, but a lot of it is like very much so numbers driven. I mean, that's how we all get paid. So,
yeah.
So that always feels nice, like see a lift in something, or you maybe go into an account that didn't buy your product before, and then you're able to build that special relationship where you're the one that makes a difference and you get it in there, and then it's very successful and it's a partnership for life kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are definitely things that feel good and like you feel proud of. But recently I had like somebody who works for our distributor go into an account, and it was an account that, I mean, I see regularly all the time, but it's nothing like it's not like we never sat down and had a conversation about how we were doing for each other. I mean, on a business level, sure, but a higher up from our distributor went in there and they just talked so many nice things about me for so long. And then they nice. Called me after and they were like, I just want you to know, like, and so when you're not even there and your name gets brought up, and I feel like that was like one of the first times that I was like, okay, cause you know, we run around so much, we are so busy. It's truly a 24/7 job. I mean, people mm-hmm. are, if you think about it, in this industry, people are buying and using your products all hours of the day, all days of the week, not just 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Mostly, actually, not 9 to 5.
Mostly not that one.
Monday through Friday. So it's just that, you know, it's sometimes it's easy to, like, get caught up in things and be like, well, I hope I'm doing good because, shoot, I just felt like I was underwater all week. But I think that was, like, the first time where I was like, dang, that's really nice to hear something good about you from somebody else when you're not even there. Like, what a great validation, you know?
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of little things along the way, but when you're not even in a room and for people to, like, say those things about you, that's pretty cool.
Like, they're not trying to spice up your ego. Like, they're just giving an honest feedback on their experience.
Sure.
And that... Yeah, I can see how that would be very rewarding.
Simple, but like super rewarding.
Yeah, exactly. See how being nice to people can make such a difference. So I just thought about it. Like you said that you basically did a lot of, I guess, almost the same job between the energy drink place and then now with the beer company. Would you say, like, it's a big change in culture? Like, just with you and all your coworkers, how would you say the culture is different?
Honestly, not at all for me. Not at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing, like, when people go to college and they graduate, I think a big thing is, like, them trying to find a brand that they trust. Mm-hmm. Like, a culture that they want to be a part of, a lifestyle that they want to be a part of. And I know this is, like, kind of, like, a simple answer, but truly, I was lucky in that I loved the first culture that I was a part of, and I was able to find something that was so similar. It's very, like, nice. Work hard, excellent. But you get to play hard, too, you know? So there's a good balance there, and truly, the culture is super similar. Our jobs are very independent. Like, we do, obviously, I'm here, you know, like, we do things on our own all day long, but then mm-hmm. we can always reach out to the team or... There's always, like, that team culture at the end of the day. The events are when everyone comes together, and everyone has similar experiences, so you can always reach out to one another and, you know, just, hey, this happened to me today, and they usually have, like, a similar story, you know? So I feel like kind of, like, work hard, play hard is a good way to put it because we do work our little tushes mm-hmm. off, but also, like, we get to have fun with it, too.
Like, in this industry, I think people underestimate how much fun it is just like on a day-to-day basis. Like your job, it's still a job. Like you work hard, you're tired when you go home, but you get to talk about beer all day with people who love beer.
Yeah.
Like that's not a bad job.
Totally. Like, it could be much worse,
couldn't it? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, whenever I talk about vacations I want to go on, I want to stay in Italy for like a month and learn like the distilling and the like making vermouth from like the little old Italian men. I know it like sounds like work, but also that's just what like all my vacations are drinking vacations now. Like, no, I just want to drink my way across the world. Like it's sort of work.
Yeah.
Is it enough work that I can get someone else to pay me for?
It's called like industry knowledge and research.
Yeah, right, there. Right? Exactly. Like, I know we're not making vermouth, but now I know a lot about it.
Yeah, so you can take that and use it here later.
Mm-hmm. So just how do you feel, where do you think the beer industry is going? I mean, I know Four Peaks was, I think, the first and so far the only big acquisition in Arizona. I don't think any of the other breweries are really close to being worth enough money for any of the big beer companies to get in on that. But just in general, how do you think the beer industry, the beer climate is going to be in, I guess, the next 10 years?
Yeah. It's so hard to say. I feel like me as just one person, I almost feel like I don't know enough to know like exactly where we're going, but I have a lot of faith and a lot of trust in our company. And nowadays, I mean, there's so many choices. I think a good thing that we always ask ourselves is, how are you going to stand out? I mean, as is anything, right? Like when you're looking for a job, like how are you going to stand out? You know, if you're a beer company or whatever kind of company you are, like how do you stand out above the rest? And personally, I think moving forward, we touched on like social media a little bit. I feel like we are younger generations, especially the entry point consumers that are coming into like drinking beer and experiencing that. I think for them, it's going to be coming up with more of those like experiential type consumer like events and things that will resonate to where they'll go to the grocery store.
You're not buying alcohol, you're buying an experience.
Totally. Yeah. You go to the store and you look at all, you know, the wall of all the craft beers that are available now and you think, oh, I remember that one time that I went to this event or I talked to this girl or whatever it may be, and I'm going to go for that now, you know? So
yeah.
I think it's the impact that you leave on consumers moving forward is going to be so important because, again, how do people learn about things these days, even restaurants or whatever it is? I feel like a lot of times it's from someone else's experience, someone posting an amazing picture on social media, like whatever it might be, and you look at that and you think, dang, I want to do that. I want to try that or whatever. So I feel like moving forward, that will be something really important to, and we touched on this before we started, but again, you have to have the right product before you can do that too. You can't just come up with all these amazing like branding marketing ideas that like are going to give your consumers an awesome experience if you don't have the product to back it, of course. So that is first and foremost, but I think moving forward, that's what makes you stand out from the rest is you're giving somebody an experience that they're going to remember.
Yeah. Well, I think that's my only, I guess, worry about the beer industry and maybe the liquor industry too, if it kind of booms the way we're expecting in the next 10 years. Like, I don't even know how many craft breweries there are here in the state. It's got to be over 100. Like
locally, I think, it's probably between 50 and 100. I mean, it's much more than 9, which is what you mentioned about distilleries.
And I just, you know, how does it get sustained? Like, how do companies stay that way? I mean, imagine if we had, like, I guess 60 different grocery stores all competing and providing, like, the same products, but they're all, like, you know, what if we had 4 grocery stores down the street? It's like, okay, which one do you want to go to today?
Totally.
Like, this one's got great sushi, but that one has better bread selection. Like, how does that sustain itself? I guess I know that's not, you know, I don't think you guys are worried at all about how you're going to sustain yourself. Like, you're probably in a very comfortable position, but for the littler ones, how can they keep going? How can they compete with, you know, not just with you guys, but with, you know, the 6 other breweries down the block doing the same thing?
Totally. And I think, of course, I can't comment on behalf because I don't know what everyone else is in their shoes are feeling, but I think beer and distilling and everything that we've talked about today are like, they're such fun things that do have the ability to give such a cool experience. So I think a lot of people think, I want to do that. I want to give that experience, but it's not always as easy, I think, as everyone thinks it is. Yeah. So, I mean, and that can translate to many different businesses, but we have, our team has an amazing like commitment to quality. And I think it took them a long time to build that. And then once they were there, then you get to do the fun stuff, but hopefully people aren't like jumping the gun, so to speak, and doing something that they, you know, it's a great business plan, but do you have the right resources to back it?
Yeah. See, I'm looking at it from the other way, is I see a lot of people who can find the resources. They've been homebrewing for years. They've got great, you know, their friends love their beer. And then they don't have a business plan is what I see a lot of when I look at breweries that pop up and then immediately pop down is like, you can be a great brewer or you can be a great distiller, but it's not a replacement for knowing how to run a business.
No, you got to be a business person too, because that stuff's expensive. I have some friends that do, and they do make great beer, but they're like, I got to give this up for a while. It's so expensive. And to back a whole business, you do have to have that side too, I guess.
Yeah, the financial capital is just, they're like, oh, it can't be that expensive. Like, yeah, it really can. All right, well, before we go, is there anything else, I guess that you've got in your heart that you want to let people know about you or the company or being a woman brewer or woman marketer?
Yeah, no, I think what you're doing is really cool, and giving like women, especially in today's day and age, a platform like this is awesome. I feel like I'm only one person, and I certainly am like the bottom of the totem pole, so I cannot speak on behalf of like the whole company, but I think I work for an amazing company that treats women great. Like it's and they have such a commitment to quality, and they've done such a good job on all these topics that we've talked about. So I feel really lucky and really good about that. I think it's important to be able to like have these conversations though, you know, and just like I said, like you kind of like taking that niche and like trying to translate things to like females in this world today. Who knows, girls may run the world one day.
It's been there. We're taking it back. I mean, women have been the traditional brewers and distillers for most of human history, and I think it's time we take it back. Send the men back out. Go on. Go hunt.
I think it's awesome. And it's ever-changing, you know?
Awesome. Well, this has been Alexis Rayson from Four Peaks. Thanks for listening to Spirit Sirens Showcase, where we talk about women in the alcohol industry and just a whole bunch of other stuff, too. My name's Megan, and I will see you later.